And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
They ain't so tough without their guns, that's all I'm saying. They ain't so tough without their guns. Back down, spin, fade away. Not a green, but it's money. That was a tough shot, jeez. But hey, even with that shot, we're only winning by 1 point. Never mind. We're not winning at all.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, November 10th. Happy Hump Day. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
How's it going, everybody?
What's up, Tass? Got our top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
The international man of mystery, taking it to the Max Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And last, certainly not least, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us here on a Wednesday live on YouTube. Let's all take a second. Hit the like button on the vid. Make sure you're subscribed. Comment away in the stream team and later in the YouTube comments. And, of course, share the show as we try and make our way to 50,000 subs. We're going to get to last night's three games. We'll touch on all three of them. We're going to hit the beach. A little beach stepping, answer a few of the questions you guys sent in over the last couple days. But we start with an update from the big news on yesterday's show. And that is reigning MVP Nikola Jokic has been suspended for one game without pay for forcefully pushing Heat forward Markieff Morris in the back on Monday night. Morris was fined $50,000 for his flagrant two fouls that led to Jokic's retaliation. While Jimmy Butler was fined $30,000 for attempting to escalate the altercation and failing to comply with an NBA security interview. Jimmy just wasn't going to do it. And so, I don't know, maybe they tacked on another $15,000 for all we know. So, no suspensions for Morris or Jimmy, but Jokic gets the one game, Lily. You thought maybe two on yesterday's show. A lot of us were saying one. In the end, it's one. Anything to add to this fallout?
Well, I think it's fair that Jokic gets a game. I think Morris probably deserves a game as well, simply because Jokic just doesn't do what he did if it wasn't for what Morris did first. You know, the instigator, and it was a dangerous play. There's no question that what Markieff Morris did was silly, and it could have been, could have potentially injured Nikola Jokic. The reaction, as we talked about yesterday, the retaliation, it's probably a little bit too far, but in the heat of the moment, those things can happen. And so I think the NBA took some lenience into it because they were like, that was a pretty nasty thing that Morris did. And the funniest thing is still seeing, like, and I understand, you know, if you're on Morris's side or you're a Heat fan, most of those people are saying, oh, he didn't do anything wrong. You know, what's going on? This is crazy. Jokic just unprovoked. It simply wasn't the case. I mean, Nikola Jokic did what he did in retaliation to being hit with a dirty shot from Markieff Morris. And I think most neutral observers would agree that's the case. As far as Jimmy Butler being fined $30,000, you may as well fine him 10 bucks. It doesn't make any difference there. But I will say, looking back at what Jimmy did, you know, the Morris and the Jokic stuff was heat of the moment. But then Jimmy sort of saying, I've got this circled on the calendar, and you wanting to fight everyone in the arena, wanting to go to their locker room. Yeah. I think that deserves a little more punishment than a token amount of money that is just nothing to him. Does he get suspended? Maybe not. But remember, he did the same sort of thing with TJ Warren saying, next time I see you, I'm going to get you. And I think that has to be taken into account a little bit more.
Yeah, but what happened?
Next time I see you, I'm going to get you.
I just don't think that, you know, again, once things have at least calmed down somewhat, you've got a guy who's saying, well, I'm going to get these guys back. I think the NBA may want to just have a little bit more of a look at that rather than just, again, $30,000, fine him $500,000. Doesn't make still any difference. You just signed a $180 million contract. But that stuff can potentially lead to more down the road. But anyway, as far as the actual suspension, fine with Jokic. I did think he may have got a second game there. He didn't. I think Morris being fined $50,000 is the same thing. That doesn't do anything. I think he was deserving of at least a one-game suspension as well.
The emotions from this skirmish It spilled onto social media as the brothers of both NBA players, they weighed in. Now, we didn't get to this on yesterday's show. I guess it was sort of happening almost while we were live on the air. We had Marquise's twin brother, Marcus Morris. He chimed in on Twitter basically saying Jokic's shove against his brother from behind was shady and that he will remember it. Okay, I think he used the emoji, little note pen thing there. Yeah, he's putting it in his Any.do app. Yeah. Now, that prompted Jokic's brothers, not NBA players, to open a Twitter account named at Jokic Brothers. And it has been confirmed. It is absolutely them to respond to Marcus. Now, they tweeted, I say they, I don't know which brother actually was doing the tweeting, but it said, "You should leave this the way it is instead of publicly threatening our brother. Your brother made a dirty play first. If you want to make a step further, be sure we will be waiting for you." Jokic Brothers, they signed their first tweet ever. Of course, this is NBA Twitter wet dream task where stuff like this goes down, where we have the Morris brothers talking on Twitter and now the Jokic brothers, because Jokic is not on Twitter himself. But anyway, anything to add to the hilarity here? Will we get a Survivor Series matchup between the Jokic brothers and maybe the Morris twins and maybe Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, the Jokic brothers made a bit of name for themselves over the last couple of years. You know, they're hanging with Nikola at the MVP ceremony. They are some tough dudes, but I'm not sure about their computer literacy because their avatar still just an egg. Yeah. So you had to confirm. Yeah, reporters had to give them a call and say, "Hey, is this you guys? I know you signed at Jokic Brothers, but I'm not totally sure." Nemanja and Strahinja, those are the bros of Nikola. Those dudes are tough. I mean, it would be a great battle. You could have a 3-on-2. You know, Marcus and Markieff, and then they went back and forth a little bit even more on Twitter. But they were in the crowd, so I don't think they really had the capabilities to start their Twitter account right then. I'm just assuming. I think they had to go home, get on a desktop, or call somebody else to start it up. But there was just a lot from that. I think the court of public opinion, I think, saved Jokic from getting a second game because everybody saw the fact that the replays showed that Markieff hit him. You know, if this was maybe 20 years ago, maybe we just see the retaliation and maybe Jokic does get two games. But all the replays show Markieff did something. And I think there was enough people saying, "Hey, Markieff hit this guy." So I think there was enough, you know, backing from that side to save Jokic a game. And then, you know, Jimmy Butler's going to do his thing, right? Like, it's just him sort of putting a deposit for later in the season saying, "I got your back, boys." This is just like a tip into the big coffee tip jar. Just saying, "Hey, guys, like we're, you know, he just does this thing. He just does it. Just so everybody knows that he's got their back." And that's all that was. He's just sitting there like, "Shit, I should do something. I'll stand up and yell."
Yeah, I mean, they play pretty soon, which is nice. I like that. Because usually something like this happens, Trey, and then we look at the schedule right away and we go, "Oh, they don't play till March again," especially with an East and West team. They play at the end of November. Like, it's pretty soon. November 29th, Nuggets travel to Miami to play the Heat. So who knows how many brothers will be in attendance? That's what I want to know. And you said 3-on-2 tasks. We could do that. No, we can't. You've seen the Jokic brothers.
They're too big. They're a weight class up from the Morris brothers, I think.
The Morris brothers have to have a Jimmy on their team. Maybe a Kyle Lowry, play the Philadelphia angle. I don't know. But I got to have somebody else. It's got to be 3-on-3 because those guys are giants. The one of them's somehow bigger than Jokic, who is a mammoth man. But Trey, what'd you think of the Twitter beef going on here?
Well, let me tell you, Skeets, I'm buying this beef, no doubt about it. A couple of twins throwing down with a couple of big beefers. I don't know. Honestly, the Jokic brothers, once they started tweeting, I thought they were a lot less tough. You don't start a Twitter account if you're a tough guy.
Interesting. Interesting.
Right? I mean, like, and honestly, like, people were sleeping on this. How come nobody had Jokic brothers already as a meme account?
Yeah. Mm.
Couple of missed opportunities there. Talking tough on Twitter doesn't impress me, but I will be excited for this game. Anytime you've got a game marked down on your schedule, gives you something to get excited for in the middle of the season. I think the right call all around. Morris's hit was a dirty hit. That's why he got a flagrant too, but if Jokic doesn't react, it just ends at a flagrant two. He's ejected. That's probably the right call there. And then Jokic, what he did was a dirtier hit. on Morris. So I'm fine with him getting a game suspension here. And yeah, Lee, you're saying $30,000 is nothing, but that's 1,500 cups of big face coffee. And you saw how long it takes Jimmy Butler to make those. He's got to get up at 4 a.m. to start working out. So if he's going to make 1,500 cups of coffee, make his money back. He's pulling a bunch of all-nighters here, so I will be happy when this story is over until we get to the fight again down in Miami, and then it'll be fun for another couple of days.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for November 29th, like I said, which I think is a Monday, too. It's not a... For us, at least, Lee, it's not buried on a Friday night or a Saturday. You know, I'm pretty sure the 29th is a Monday, so that is exciting. And again, I hope we have the Jokic brothers there, and we have Marcus Morris. I don't know where the Clippers are playing that particular night. Yeah, we're seeing a photo here of the bros on both sides there of Jokic. Okay, maybe I exaggerated. Not as big as Nikola Jokic, but pretty damn close.
I just hope they all come trotting into the arena on the back of the horse, you know, the harness races horses like Nikola Jokic. Does that would be the way, like the cavalry is coming, you know.
Oh my goodness. I will say, I wonder what would have happened in terms of how many games Jokic would have got if Morris was, let's say, stretchered out ultimately from that game. Like they brought it out, he's either playing it up or he's legit hurt. I mean, there was some whiplash, don't get me wrong, like his neck snaps back because he wasn't expecting to get, you know, hammered in the back from Jokic. If he's taken off on a stretcher and he's out, I don't know, for games, I wonder if the punishment is more severe. I'm glad he's, you know, not injured and he's going to continue to play by all accounts. But I do wonder, because it reminded me, did you guys ever hear like urban legends? Because I'm convinced that's what they were, but maybe they weren't. Of like, there's a kid being bullied at school and then he has enough and he pushes the bully back. But the bully like trips and then smokes his head off like the ceramic water fountain and is like, you know, suddenly like paralyzed. And it's like, oh my God, like what has just happened here? This is what, like, this is sort of what could have happened here had it been somehow worse with Markieff Morris. You ever hear stories like that growing up in high school?
That basically happened to Scottie Pippen's brother. That's how he was paralyzed almost the exact same way. Okay, well, the whiplash of it was crazy. But yeah, I mean, that's why you don't hit people in the back. Yeah. That's a super dangerous thing.
Yep. Okay, I think we can move on from this. Like you said, Trey, we'll be talking about it again, I'm sure, as we get closer to that 29th date between the Nuggets or Heat. Or maybe just when the Jokic brothers tweet again. I did like that they followed only Jamal Murray.
Let me get in on this real quick here.
Because they can't follow their brother.
They need an avatar.
Oh, I think it's better without one, actually, because then it's just like, that's still that mystery about them, even though... Their handle is Jokic Brothers, and then they sign it off, Jokic Brothers.
Yeah, it's not. It's like one step removed from Paul Pierce tweeting a photo of a rocket ship or whatever the heck it was, instead of just using the emoji. They don't really know how to use the technology, but they're trying, just so they can get their shot in at Marcus Morris. And I think Marcus Morris sort of tried to wrap it up, right, by saying his mom said, you know, don't do this shit on social media in so many words.
Which sounds to me like his mom said... Well, you did push him first. I mean,
was Marcus she was talking to. Are you saying their mom can't even keep track of them?
Probably.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, let's get to the games from last night. We'll start with the first game on the docket. Giannis and Grayson Allen leading the Bucks past the shorthanded 76ers. Took care of business down the stretch, but it was close for a good chunk of the game. But Trey, big takeaways from this one. A
lot of players were out in this one, Skeets. You tweeted about it. Lopez, Middleton, DiVincenzo out for the Bucks. Embiid, Simmons, Curry, Thibault, Harris, Joe out for the Sixers. Probably easier to list who did play, and you nailed a couple of the big ones there. Giannis played 31 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists. Had a great dish late to Grayson Allen, who also played. Great game, 25 points, 10 in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Hit a dagger three off that pass from Giannis with about a minute 30 left. Put the Bucks up by 7. And Andre Drummond, he played for the Sixers. So JD, my man, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Andre Drummond had 20 rebounds. That's back-to-back beefs. That's a lot of roast beef, which is rebounds.
My big beefy boy came through again. Back-to-back beefs, and this is legit back-to-back. Back-to-back nights for Andre Drummond. 25 on Tuesday night. Or wait, I guess that was Monday night. And 20 on Tuesday night. That's his 86th beef of his career, as you know. Rudy Gobert did a back-to-back beef this year as well. First two games of the season, but he had a day off in between. Mm-hmm. So a little more credit to Andre Drummond. He's also the first Philadelphia 76er with back-to-back 20 rebound games since who? Here's a hint. This guy took a hilarious media day picture, not with the Sixers, with another team.
Wow.
It's a weird one. Yeah, you don't think of this guy as a big-time rebounder, but a large man in 2008
Big Baby hit the Davis glass. Big Baby Davis didn't play for Philly.
Not a Sixer. This guy,
not a Sixer.
Right,
Andrew Bynum?
A fair guess. But this, my last hint for you is that this guy's media day picture was with the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, D'Alembert?
Samuel D'Alembert.
What a callie.
Yeah, 2008, he had back-to-back 20 rebound games. I focused on the tips for that Andre Drummond beef. There are some beef tips, if you will. People were going crazy for his offensive rebounding last night. He had 7 boards, and people were basically saying he has better touch on the one-handed tips than he does basically anywhere else. And it's hard to deny. He has some gorgeous tips there, but honestly, hard-fought loss for the Sixers. You know, this one could have been a big-time stinker, but Philly played super hard, kept it close until the fourth quarter. The crowd gave him a round of applause. They played so hard, being down shorthanded, but they just ran out of gas. Basically because Giannis took over there in the fourth quarter. 9 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists for Giannis in the fourth, and all of his assists were for three-pointers. And part of that, I think, is that Grayson Allen has been a perfect fit next to Giannis, under the radar signing for the Bucks. But he moves around the ball, he finds out how to get open, and so far he's shooting 41% from three on about 8 attempts. I don't know if Dante DiVincenzo will still have a starting spot whenever he gets back, because Grayson Allen has been awesome. Also, just great poise from Giannis. Like, he was either going to the hoop if George Niang was guarding him, and that was an easy bucket, but if they found a way to get the ball out of his hands, or if it was a bit of a scramble playoff after an offensive rebound, just taking it slow, looking around, finding the wide-open guy, chuck it to him, knock it down for a three. Game's too easy for Giannis right now. The guy's incredible.
Were you impressed, Tass, with the fight the Sixers did put up, despite being very shorthanded?
Of course. This is a moral victory. If there is a moral victory in the NBA, this is one, for sure. 80% of their salary was out. That's how much they had to depend on guys that were deep down. Yeah, Derek Bodner with that stat. And the fact that a guy like Tyrese Maxey, who's filling in for Ben Simmons, looks this good this early in his career, year number two, he's been steady over the past 8 games, 16.6 points on great percentages. It's not just a quick little stint, 53% from the floor and 50% from three over that span. And I think everybody loves him. I mean, again, this team is just coming together. George Niang, we talked about as the Niang gang, everybody loving him. But I think Niang, not only a solid basketball player, but might be a writer. He said this about Tyrese Maxey after the game. There's been plenty of times where someone is yelling, "Tyrese!" And he looks, his hair swinging. He listens. He doesn't ever complicate things. He just goes up there and he goes even harder. I mean, he's a writer. I believe in this Sixers team. They just
he's a writer.
It's something that I would want to write. His hair swinging. But the Sixers just love each other. The fact that back-to-back nights to be able to fight against this Sixers team. And I think the foresight of the Bucks front office to go and trade for Grayson Allen when, you know, they didn't have any more room. They've signed Drew Holiday to a monster deal, Middleton to a monster deal, as well as Giannis, obviously. So they had to trade. They traded for him in the offseason from Memphis, signed him to an extension before he played a game, and he's been playing great. And I always think of him as a two-name guy. It's Grayson Allen. It's not Grayson.
Yeah, totally.
It's not Allen, right? But Giannis said after the game, Grayson did a great job of getting to the right spot. I just think of, like, babies, because I know of friends who've named their kids Grayson, so they'll say the name Grayson, but I've never heard Grayson Allen say, "Hey, Grayson's good. Grayson's cute." But he is filling in perfectly as the dunker spot, the three ball spot. That's a great pickup and an extension even before he plays a minute. So that's a smart move there by John Horst in the front office.
Yeah, this game was for the sickos, let's be honestly, because, you know, we're talking about Grayson Allen here and Ojale hit three threes and Jordan Nwora looked pretty good. And then, yeah, all the Sixers, you got Tyrese Maxey, sure. We know about him. The Niang Gangbang. Charles Bassey got 5 minutes. People are like, who? Paul, don't call me Patrick Reed. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to you, Reggie Miller. So he's got
Patrick Reed is a golfer, is that right?
I think so. Yeah. So he called poor Paul Respect. Reed Patrick Reed. And then I saw on the top five plays of the night on NBA.com on their YouTube page, Jared Greenberg, he's calling him Patrick Reed with the big block on him. So, I mean, once you start doing it, you start, like, thinking it's his name. It just feels more natural than a Paul. But anyway, the point is, Lee, yeah, all these guys. What I kept thinking watching this from the Sixers side of things is, are there other teams, other GMs watching this game going, maybe we could get that person also in a Ben Simmons trade. Maybe they could throw in, you know, player X to then make it happen. I don't know. That's kept crossing my mind. But what'd you think of this?
Yeah, well, the game doesn't wait for anybody. And Tyrese Maxey right now is out there saying, you know what? I don't care if Ben Simmons isn't playing. I'm going to try to make the most of this opportunity and show that maybe I could be a starting point guard in this league. I don't think he's quite there yet, but he was certainly full of confidence last night, hitting all the shots he could, all those little mid-range doodahs. They were dropping in. And it was, I couldn't resist. Sorry.
I know.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like the Sixers look like they are really playing together. They were, you know, so shorthanded last night. The Bucks are too. But they fought, and this game could have gone Philadelphia's way. If it wasn't those last couple of minutes, Big Bobby hit a big three in the corner, and Giannis sort of just did what he had to do. The Bucks obviously aren't playing their best basketball right now, but they had the best player, and he showed that in the end. But this was a pretty tight game for the most part. Furkan couldn't really hit a shot last night. If he hits a couple, maybe that's a bit of a different story. But fun game, all things considered.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was worried. I was like, this is going to be boring or ugly. Yeah, the Bucks gonna dominate them, and they did it, and it was pretty entertaining. You get all these fun little contributions again, maybe for the sickos out there, but it was a close game down the stretch. Let's go to the Hawks losing another one. Caca, sad caca. Donovan Mitchell scored 27. Jazz pulled away to beat Atlanta 110-98. I believe that's five losses in a row for the Hawks. Tass, I don't know if you want to start with them or the Jazz. Looking like the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, well, it's finally a good team that the Hawks lose to, so it doesn't feel all that terrible. And they played better. They had a lead late, and then the Jazz, who are a great team, pulled away. And they're coming for the Warriors' number one spot in the Western Conference right here, right now. They're going to steal it. They're number two. 10 of their next 12 are at home, where they're unbeaten. And it's kind of like a flip of the Warriors' schedule, who have had a home-heavy, softy schedule. The Jazz have had a road-heavy sked, 4 home, 7 road. And they don't have a back-to-back where Mike Conley doesn't play half of it for a while. I think that's around Thanksgiving, and that's against the Pelicans. So the Jazz are coming for that number one spot. I think America will be sitting around the Thanksgiving table and saying, you know, the Warriors started hot. They were number one. Everybody talking about Steph. But soon, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert will take that number one spot, and I'm not sure if people are going to be talking about the Jazz at the Thanksgiving table, unless you live in Salt Lake City. Yeah. Yeah, they are not America's team. They're not, but I think they look like the best Western Conference team, even though everybody's on Steph and the Warriors. Mm-hmm. I think the Jazz will be there, and I think they're playing so well as a team. The way they pulled away in the fourth quarter is the sign of a championship team. They've got Miami coming to town, so that'll be fun. Maybe America will be talking about the Miami-Utah game in a couple of weeks. Probably not, but I think the Jazz are, you know, they're ready to take that one hole because they are playing together, and it's not just Donovan Mitchell anymore. It's a squad. You know, you got your Boyans, and you got your Conleys, and you got your Mitchells, along with Rudy playing well, and your other Rudy. Rudy Gay should be coming soon for their bench to help out Hassan Whiteside, who is playing like a beast. He's playing so great.
Yeah.
He's a new man. You get a minimum contract, you're a new man. I think he's helped. I mean, they went from Derek Favors last year, you know, $9 million, whatever it was, to a minimum guy. He's playing extremely, playing well in space. They're just telling him what to do, and he's listening right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bench is great. I mean, Jordan Clarkson obviously coming off the bench. He had a good game last night, 16 points. Whiteside, like you said, he gives you 20 minutes now, and he's like flirting with a double-double. Joe Ingles, who I feel like he's had a quiet year. Am I crazy to think that, Lee? But, you know, we know he can pop off. And then even Eric Paschal is getting some minutes, probably without Rudy there. He's taking up some of those off the bench. So Jazz are great. But none of it will matter until we get to the playoffs. We said that at the start of the season. I think it still holds true. But what about the Hawks, Lee? Now 4-8. Do you think we could be seeing them possibly fire Nate McMillan and rehiring Lloyd Pierce? And just see if it works again after the slow start?
Yeah, look, it has been a bad start for the Hawks. A little bit shorthanded last night. That doesn't really matter anything, though, when you're in Utah. It's one of the toughest places to win no matter what during the regular season. But just defensively, they just seem to be a little bit off right now. They haven't certainly carried that momentum that I thought they would have had from the playoffs last season. They just haven't looked like a very strong team. They don't look like a team that made the Eastern Conference Finals right now. So they need to get on track and get a couple of wins here. They have had a fairly, you know, they've played some tough teams already. This is the second time they played the Jazz in a week. You know, Jazz are one of the best teams, of course. So, you know, they've had that. But
I thought
the
Hawks were supposed to be one of the best.
So did I. But they just can't win on the road. That's their problem. They've played 8 road games and they're 1-7 Atlanta right now. So, and last night we saw, like, Danilo Gallinari was good in the playoffs for the Hawks last season. He was good for the Thunder in the season before that. But regular season Gallo, man, he looks about 1,000 years old there out on the court. He's just far too slow. He had to get a few extra minutes last night because they were missing Hunter and Bogdanovich. But his minutes were bad minutes there for the Hawks. So they will be okay. They'll get a few wins together soon. But they're in the midst of a tough stretch as well. They've got the Warriors, obviously the Jazz. I think they play the Suns and maybe the Nuggets as well on this trip. So they're going to find themselves in a bit of a hole, but I think they're better than what their record suggests right now. But it's just it's tough to find too many positives, though, because teams score easily and they can't score enough against other teams' defenses.
Yeah, Aaron here in the stream team actually taking my idea to the next logical step is the Hawks have to fire Nate, rehire Lloyd Pierce, then fire Lloyd Pierce and rehire Nate McMillan to then turn the season around. You're right, Aaron. Thank you. We eventually got there, so maybe that'll be happening if they continue this slow start, Trey. Anything to add to the Hawks-Jazz game from last night?
I think that the Hawks need to show a little bit more urgency here. Basically, Trae Young said that the regular season is boring now after going to the conference finals last year. He's saying, hey, it's not a big deal. We're not 4-20. Fair enough. I think that's fine long-term perspective, but you got to win some of these games and you got to give a little bit better effort here. Capella doesn't look like himself right now, so he's not able to cover up the mistakes that are happening on the perimeter because it's a blow-by fest out there for the guards, you know. So they beat Trae Young off the dribble, get onto the inside, kick it out for a wide open three. That happened time and time again last night against the Jazz. 27th in defense right now. You're not going to win any serious kind of games playing that kind of defense this year.
All right, our final game from last night. There's only three on. Paul George scored 24. Clippers beat the Blazers to extend their win streak. They're playing good basketball right now. They're up to 5 in a row, 6-4 overall. Paul George did get some help, though, Lele, last night. He was great, got in foul trouble. He had 24 points and filled up the box score, sort of flirted with a triple-double. But Reggie Jackson added 23, and Batum, season high 22. I think he hit 6 threes. As the Clippers continue to win here, and Blazers continue to struggle, especially on the road.
Yeah, Nick Batum's been shooting a good ball all season with the 6 threes there last night. I think he's up to 60% for the month. And Reggie Jackson with the 23 there, because Paul George was good, but he was in the foul trouble. And you know, he and Damian Lillard, there's a good beef history between those two. So this one had a real, you know, battle out between these guys who was going to get the win. And the Clippers, they have won 5 straight now. They've beaten the Timberwolves, the Hornets, and somebody else in, but the Thunder, I think it was, in between that. So, you know, not tough, but the Blazers were their toughest team that they had to beat. It was a good game. It looked like we were going to get some Lillard time there in the fourth quarter. He hit his first 4 shots when he checked in. Then he picked up, looked like a bit of just a sort of mid-body strain or something on a play there. He looked almost a bit like LeBron there, that he was feeling it in the midsection, and he kind of cooled off after that. So that really, in the end, cost him. And the fact that Paul George hit the game-sealing 3-point play over Lillard, he was pumped up about that. So good win for the Clippers. The Blazers, I don't think they've won away from Portland yet, and that's just tough for them. It sort of went as expected. I think the Clippers are a better team than their record right now, and I think the Blazers are just in they're just sort of not really going anywhere this season. So tough to see where they improve from here. Everyone had a shot at Paul George last night, Normie Powell. CJ was on him, Lillard was on him. But when Paul George has got it going, he's an incredible player because he's so talented. He's long. He's got that way of sort of slithering into the lane as well when he needs to. So good win for the Clippers. Back on track. But again, fairly winnable games that have led to these five straight.
Yeah, slithering into the lane and slithering up the MVP chats. He's got to be up there at 6-4 for the Clip. They started with a really tough schedule. Now they've won five in a row. And they talk about him, I think, within that Clippers locker room as their leader, as their MVP guy. Like Batum, had a 22-point night. And all he said post-game was, we just needed to, tread water with Paul George on the bench until Paul got back on the floor. We just had to do it until Paul got back. And that's sort of the focus now. They all sort of circle around Paul George without Kawhi Leonard there. So the longer Kawhi stays out, the more the Paul George MVP talk should be real the way he's playing. And he is at the table as we're showing you the deep dish pizza in Chicago that we waited 90 minutes for.
Yeah. At least. Yeah, it was a while.
Paul George should be in this conversation for at least 90 more minutes. I think he should be in the conversation for deep into the season.
That's the question. We said this in the preseason, Trey. We said Paul George will be at the MVP table through the first couple weeks, maybe months, maybe a little bit more. Can he stay there, or will he have to take a piss and leave the table and someone take a seat? Because he's awesome. I mean, his usage percentage, highest it's ever been of his career. That's pretty wild. He's averaging 26.7 points per game, 8.3 rebounds, shooting, 36%, I think it is, from three. He facilitates for this team. He's the closer for this team. He's one of the best defensive guys on this team, maybe in the league still, on the wing position. So he's there, but yeah, can he remain there is the cue.
Maybe he'll finish top five in MVP voting. Does that constitute a seat at the table for the entire season?
Sure. Yeah, that would. Yeah.
Sure. I've been impressed with the Clippers. Five straight wins. It's basically just been finally hitting some threes, and that's kind of the Clippers' MO for this season. They're going to be playing small and getting up as many threes as they can. Last year, they shot over 40% as a team, so that's a huge chunk of offense. If he's shooting the ball, if he's getting those deep dishes out to the other players, piling up assists, he had 7 last night, thought that was pretty nice playmaking. Sure, I think he's a second team All-NBA or Skeets. I like to keep track of where exactly they are on the teams. It's not just All-NBA to me. There are levels to this. But he was great last night, no doubt. Reigning player of the week, cool for him. And also Reggie Jackson, I thought, was unstoppable in the fourth quarter. He was just living in the lane.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're going to start seeing those MVP lists soon here as we get a couple weeks into the season. We said, I guess, on yesterday's show, I mean, Curry's there. Jokic is probably there. Durant is there. Jimmy Butler is probably still there with the Heat record to start the year. Giannis has to be in the mix. Well, that's 5. And then, it's Paul George, DeRozan. Is it Mitchell or Gobert for the Jazz? Is Embiid in the conversation? Ja Morant? I mean, there's a ton. Luka with the numbers he puts up on a team that is winning games, even though we think the Mavs are basically 2-8. They're not. Mm-hmm. So will he be there top five at the end of the year? He's been there before, hasn't he? Finished 3rd 1 year.
Yeah.
That was an OKC year there. So
I wouldn't say. I think Jokic may not be at that table, although he was my pick for MVP. Just the way things are going. We'll get to the Michael Porter news. That's going to hurt them a lot. But I think Paul George can stay at the table for the whole season, especially if he has a corner table like us. No need to get up to go pee. You can have a sneaky little pee under the table there. No one will see, Paul.
With Lillard, you said that little injury he maybe picked up in this game, Lee, and there's been a lot of talk maybe he is injured and that's continued from the summer and stuff like that. He looked perturbed post-game, and his comments about the off-season rule changes to try and take away players relying on non-basketball moves to draw fouls, this might raise some eyebrows. This is what he said, quote, "I feel like the way the game is being officiated is unacceptable. I don't want to go too deep into it, but the explanations and stuff that is getting missed, I felt like coming in the rule change wouldn't affect me because I don't trick the referees. I don't do the trick plays." I need a little bit more to
say. I didn't rig shit.
So, I mean, he shot 11 for 23 last night, okay. But he only took 1 free throw attempt, and his free throw attempts are way down compared to his, his average over the last couple of years when he's been a superstar player. Yet, weird comments, I thought.
Yeah.
The guy's obviously frustrated with himself and with the record, especially away from the Moda Center. But, anything Anything you would add to what he was saying? He looked perturbed, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I think, again, yeah, he's struggling by his standards. The Blazers obviously are struggling, so he's frustrated and they're sort of looking for a reason. And I think he's right. I think he's one of those players that didn't use that sort of embellishment stuff to get cheap, easy free throws in the past. But we also know that NBA players complain almost every time they're called for a foul. So you can't then complain if fouls aren't getting called. You can't have it both ways. You know, you've got to say, okay, the game is being officiated differently this year. We all knew that. We all knew that coming in, that they're not going to be calling a lot of those fouls that are maybe touch fouls or people trying to get the call. So, you know, if you're going to then complain, well, fouls aren't getting called, then you can't then complain later on if they were to change it back and say, well, now other guys are getting fouls that aren't really fouls. Do you know what I mean? Like, it seems to me that, you know, people are complaining about it, but how many times throughout the course of an NBA game do you see a guy get called for a foul and he's like, what? I didn't touch him. I didn't do anything. So, you know, I think, again, I've said it all season long, I think the game is incredibly more fun to watch right now. I think there's a lot more contact being allowed. I think it's the right direction the league is going in. Maybe some people are getting fouled and they're not getting called for it that they might have gotten in the past. I'm okay with that. I think less fouls and a little bit more benefit of the doubt going to the guy committing the foul or the contact is better for the game. So I you know, disagree that you know, that the game is worse or anything like that right now.
Yeah, if I'm like trying to figure out his comments here. From what I can tell, he's saying, I thought the rules, the emphasis from the officials was going to be on all this like trickery, like the jumping into guys sideways, stopping on a dime and having them running into your ass, all these things, you know, the up and unders that we've seen from Harden before. Like, okay, that made sense to try and get rid of that. But then what Lillard is saying is it's swung too far. And now I get, again, I'm putting words in his mouth, but like, I'm getting bumped, I'm getting hit, and they're not calling just normal plays in his mind fouls anymore. Is that, do you think I have that right, Tass? Is that what he's saying here? Like, I don't do this trick shit, but I'm just like I'm getting hit in here and I'm driving in here and nothing's getting called now. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, and whether he's right or wrong, but I think that's what he's trying to get at.
Yeah, he's saying the rules that have been inserted into the rule book do not affect me. They're not what happens to me on the basketball floor. I'm not doing what these rules are intended to do. I'm just playing basketball and I'm getting hit. I'm not throwing my body around. And he has a point that more physical play is being allowed. It's totally true. You see a lot of physical play on the perimeter, and that was not what the rules were intended to do when they were written in, but they have sort of extended it to just physical play. Guys are being allowed to play defense a little bit more, you know, just sort of, you know, be in their position and have a right to a spot on the floor. But I do hear what he's saying, because it's almost extended to like a little bit handsier. Even when guys are just standing still, like I bring up the sideline because there's plenty of plays when a guy is sort of in the corner and they're getting cornered by a defender and they're getting physical with them, and there are no whistles. I'm okay with guys having a right on a drive to be in position, and you know, that's the Trae Young sort of hit that defender and flop it away and get a call. But I hear what Lillard's saying. I think the referees and Monty McCutcheon has said as much, that we are trying to swing the pendulum back even a little bit from where we swung it all the way in this, you know, these first 15 games. It's gone a little too far, so we are trying to take away a little bit of the physicality. Although it's fun and it's great to watch and there's less whistles, I'm sure a lot of the smaller guards like Lillard are moving towards defenders and getting hit. And it's not because he's flopping, but it's because he's getting hit. And, defenders just have a little bit more leniency these days. They can get away with a little bit more.
Trey, what do you think?
James Harden kind of said the same thing. I mean, we know that he is more of a trickster than Damian Lillard is. But he said basically the exact same, that, yeah, there are these new points of emphasis, but also some of these fouls should still be fouls. As the season progresses, will those turn into fouls? It's quite possible. But we're almost a month in at this point, so just got to adjust a little bit. You know, the foul on a three-pointer, I feel like, is down this year. I feel like Lillard got a lot of those in the past. And I don't know, this game just seems to have evened out a little bit here. There was a massive advantage for the offense with regards to foul calls for the past five or six seasons. Now it's swinging. That pendulum is swinging. It seems to be a little bit more fairly tilted towards the defense. But eventually the players on offense, the best in the game, will learn new tricks and new ways to pick up these foul calls. So once that happens, and once Lillard starts getting into the lane and drawing his fouls, he'll go to the free throw line more. But everybody's playing under these rules right now. Free throws are down for basically everybody, so got to figure out a different way to do it.
Yeah, and, you know, the truth is here with the Blazers, it's your defense, which sucks ass. You know, Clippers shot 52% again last night, 53 from deep. They beat you in the free throw game, getting there. I guess that is tied into what Lillard is saying a little bit, but they need to get some stops. Lee, I want to see them trade CJ McCollum and, I don't know, Covington for Ben Simmons and Filler. Make it happen. But I wonder now, with this investigation into Neil Olshay there in Portland, what impact that has on any deal being made if the Blazers continue to struggle out of the gate, you know? Like, who is the decision maker in this situation? Is it just the next guy in line? Maybe. But I don't know. The more you watch of Portland, and we don't need to go over this again because we've said it a million times, but it's like, what's the end game here with this current roster? I don't know what it is. It's not good. We know that. It's not going to be winning a title. So maybe make this move. Try and get Ben Simmons out there. We'll see if they do it.
Good luck if they are able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to convince Daryl Morey that CJ McCollum is the best player you're going to get for Ben Simmons at this point.
Yeah.
Which might be true.
I think so. I just, if I'm the Blazers and they trade CJ and they get Ben Simmons, I think Blazers fans would riot almost for that myself. But
really?
I think so. I don't think he's the answer for them.
But McCollum hasn't been either.
Yeah.
I know.
Team back so many times.
I get that, but I just look at the situation with Ben Simmons right now. And again, he's a ball handler. Lillard is their ball handler. So unless Lillard's going to be then playing off the ball, which I don't think he would like to do, I don't think that really changes a whole lot for him. But it's also, again, the reputation that Ben Simmons would bring. If you get the best version of him, great. But we just haven't seen the best version of him for so long now.
Again, they need some fucking stops.
I know they
do. They need to stop somebody
on
the perimeter. He might help on that.
Well, yes, of course. He's an upgrade defensively, sure. But at what expense on the other end of the floor as well? I think that's a thing. I think my issue here is that Neil Olshay has put a bad team together for so many years. That's why they're in this situation.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing. Like Lillard and CJ, they were drafted. Other than that, I mean, you've got... And they gave up... Remember, they gave up a first-round pick to get Larry Nance Jr. I mean, that to me is like... That's not helping anybody out. So... Mm-hmm. You know, the real problem here is, despite whatever's going on behind the scenes there with Neil Olshay, in terms of his actual performance as the GM there in Portland, hasn't done a good enough job there either. So That's why the Blazers are just treading water again.
All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, though, we'll get into some unfortunate NBA news when it comes to a couple guys in the league and their injuries, and we'll hit the beach to answer a few of your questions. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, back with No Dunks. Everybody's saying the vocal clarity is crystal clear here on the StreamYard today with your boys, so that's happy to hear. Got some news, some unfortunate news, though I think Tass is up to something with this first one here. He's got his voodoo doll out or something here to try and get Ricky Rubio into the All-Star game. But Cavs starting guard Colin Sexton will be sidelined indefinitely after suffering a knee injury in Sunday's action versus the Knicks. The team said Sexton has a meniscus tear in the knee, which will require additional testing and evaluation. They didn't say anything about surgery, but, I mean, he's going to be out for an extended period here. So, tough news, Tass, for Sexton, but good news for your Rubio All-Star case, I guess.
There is sure. Yeah, I wonder if JD planted that Sonos ad just before we talk about Colin Sexton, because you mentioned Ricky Rubio going off and MSG sounding great. Not quite the acoustics of Barclays Center that was built for concerts, but a pretty good sounding stadium. Colin Sexton, yeah, probably out a month or so, approximately. This is, you know, who really knows at this point, but he'll be back. He'll be back to earn his contract a little bit later on in the season. He needs to, you know, play well to try and get an extension. And you might think these Cleveland Cavaliers, they might fall off because he's their leading scorer at 16 points per game. Are you guys hearing an echo, or is that just me? Sorry
yeah,
to
I
point
was hearing
that out.
It too.
Yeah, echo. What? Vocal clarity? Boom!
I know. We jinxed it.
It goes
fuck
right
out of it.
Gone. Yeah. Yeah. There it goes. Yeah, it's right up in my ears. So let me turn myself off. Now I feel better. Colin Sexton, yeah. 16 points per game. He's their leading scorer because this team does it by committee. They've got 16 guys between 13 and 16 points per game. And so they're fine. They've already had their injuries. Isaac Okoro is going to come back and probably take some of those Colin Sexton minutes. You remember Isaac Okoro, the number five pick last year? He's missed seven games with a hamstring injury. Plays the two and the three, although Bickerstaff says he's our two. So he'll probably start, I think. But Darius Garland and Ricky Rubio, those guys together have been phenomenal. So I think those two will finish games together. They're averaging about 13 minutes on the floor together per game this year, and they're outscoring opponents by 16 points per 100 possessions. They're blasting teams. Two ball handlers that are comfortable sharing the ball together. I think, you know, in a perfect world, without Colin Sexton having been there for a long period of time, I think those are the two guys that you start and finish games with, and Colin Sexton would be your sixth man. That's because I'm a Ricky Rubio lover. Yes, we got some emails the last few days wondering, you know, is Ricky Rubio the next sort of Kyle Lowry that can just run a team? A couple emailers even mentioned Chris Paul, saying, you know, is Ricky Rubio in that class? Obviously, he's not. I think that steady hand of Rubio in his early 30s is good for this Cavs team. I think they'll be fine without Colin Sexton because they've got a lot of depth, sitting at 7-4 and starting a run at home because they've had a really road-heavy schedule. They'll be totally fine, and this is Ricky Rubio's time to shine. But they've just got so many guys playing really, really well, and guys coming back from injury, and Okoro, eventually Markin, and eventually Kevin Love. Too much talent on this team. I never thought I'd say that about a Cleveland Cavaliers team, but there's a lot of talent on this team.
Do you buy everything Tass is selling you here, Trey? The Cavs going to be okay, even though losing Sexton, who obviously scored a lot from them last year. He's fallen off a little bit this year, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. It is weird. He's in a strange position where he's leading the team in scoring, but I feel like he's the player you hear the least about on the Cavs, except for now that he is going down with an injury. But yeah, Rubio will step into the starting lineup, and maybe that helps with the Cavs as well, because right now Colin Sexton is averaging more turnovers than assists, as we know he's out there to try and get some buckets. So I don't know, you know, maybe losing the depth of having a top tier player is a problem for the Cavs, but I think they'll be able to just slide Rubio into the starting lineup and roll from there.
Yeah, John Schumann's pumped about tonight's game, Lily. Huge Cavs Wizards game tonight. Wait, what? A line so great, Schumann used it on the stream team and on his own Twitter account.
Wow.
You're right, John. It's a big one here Wednesday night. Anything to add, Lee, to the Sexton injury?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation there with Sexton because he's a good player. He's a score-first point guard. He's not really a distributor, but he also seems gettable, but they also sort of don't appear to be trying to trade him either.
Right.
So, you know, where does he fit in? Again, if you're a leading scorer on any team, that's a pretty good thing. And last year he was over 20 a game. He was 24 a game, up to 27 a game, actually, at one point. Zards versus Elias. Nice one there. I don't think he is actually a part of their long-term future. I think they are going to move on from him. But while they hold sort of the rights here, he's obviously going to be a restricted free agent after this season. They're probably just seeing what the interest is and what they can get out of him, because I think Garland is their sort of primary backcourt guard there. Rubio's great now, but he's also 31. So you can get a couple of good seasons out of him, but I think they want to sort of keep going with the youth movement they've got there. And the meniscus, that seems to be one of the injuries with the biggest variance in how long you're out and if you need surgery or not. Some guys, of course, have been out for best part of a season. It's ended some careers, in fact, but other guys seem to only miss a week or two. So I guess it just depends on the severity of the injury there for him. But I think he's good, Sexton. I'm just not sure exactly what his value is and even what sort of a contract he would warrant from the Warriors, Cavs next season. I mean, you know, 60 million, 4 years, 60 million. I mean, something around that. He probably gets more than that right
more
now.
More than that. I mean, yeah. He did score, like, what did he score last year? 24 25 points per game in 60 games, I know.
He just doesn't do much else, though, really. No. He's not even like a big three-point shooting sort of guy. He's more a sort of old-fashioned, he gets the twos and things like that, but he also doesn't give you many assists and not a great defender. But,
I mean, 60 million.
Anyone gets 4 years and 60 these days, so... 100? No, you can't get 100 million, can he? No. I don't know. I have no idea.
Don't beat yourself up over it. We'll get to his contract down the line. We'll see if the Cavs can take care of the Zards tonight.
What do you think about this here, Lee? It's no longer sex land. Just Rubland. Now. I guess Rubland.
I like Rubland.
Rubland.
Yeah. I think it's great. I think it works perfectly. Yeah.
It's going to be a sad day for everybody if Colin Sexton actually does leave the Cavs and they have to split up Sexland. I mean, population one at that point.
That's true. Okay, another injury news. This got lost a little in the Jokic Morris fracas, but Denver Nuggets forward Michael Porter Jr. is going to be out of the lineup for, quote here, the foreseeable future. That's according to head coach Michael Malone. Porter missed all of his rookie season in 18-19 due to back surgery. He left Saturday's game against the Rockets with another back injury after he missed that open layup. You know, we had it as a bit of a loser of the weekend. We tied it with the Harden glitch there. It was like, whoa, what happens? You don't see an NBA player blow a wide open layup. But he did grab his back. And now we wonder how serious this is for a guy that's had back injuries, Trey. Foreseeable future. Do you think the Nuggets can survive, especially with no Jamal Murray?
It's a little worrisome, no doubt. In the short term, Murray is out. Jokic, MVP caliber. But they've been playing pretty poorly, the Nuggets have, offensively. They're 24th right now, and a lot of that has been Michael Porter Jr. struggling to start this season. Aaron Gordon's turning it around a little bit here, but you're going to be asking a little bit more from him. And Will Barton has been awesome so far, but I don't know how much more he has to give the Nuggets. So perimeter scoring, I think, is going to be an issue for them as long as MPJ is out. Long term, like you're saying, Skeets, the Nuggets have got to be shaking in their boots a little bit here, having just signed MPJ to a five-year extension after all of the back concerns that brought him to the Nuggets in the first place.
Yeah.
The good thing is that the Nuggets say they're being cautious. There's no mention of surgeries or anything like that. Mike Malone said it could be a week. It could be longer. So, you know, we haven't heard anything super bad at this point. That's all good news, kind of, as far as a player being out for a back injury. Those are smart things to do, but it means they probably keep him out longer, which brings us back to the first point. They're going to have trouble scoring from the perimeter out there. Silver lining, MPJ has been brutal this season.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe a little bit of rest gets him healthier, and he comes back looking like the player that they found in the second half of last season when he was lights out and hitting the glass and one of the better shooters outside and looking primed for a big jump this season. We haven't seen it yet. Maybe it's because his back's been bothering him, so if he's able to sit out a little, get healthy, that could help the Nuggets in the medium term.
Yeah, I mean, he was shooting 36% from the field, 21% from three. He had been bad. The Nuggets are weird, though, Tass. They rank near the bottom somehow of the league in offensive efficiency, but they're second defense overall right now. So, yeah, Trey's maybe right here. He's out of the lineup, and they can still continue to play especially well on the defensive end. It's a little strange for this team to be flipped like that in my mind, but what do you think?
Yeah, it is totally weird. And it's a little weird that Michael Porter Jr. didn't have protections put in his contract when he signed that max big deal, like the Sixers put in their contract with Joel Embiid because of the injury history. I would think that Denver would want to put in some sort of protections for themselves because of the back injuries. And there was rumors when he signed that extension that there was conversations about it, but maybe that's why it took so long, because Porter's camp just didn't want it to happen. And good for them. He got 4 years guaranteed plus a partial guarantee in the fifth year. And as Trey said, that's why they got him. That's why he fell down in draft boards, because he's had two back surgeries. And I'm no doctor, but the herniated discs, what he's had surgeries on, the bulging discs way back when, I'm sure can flare up again. As I don't know if Steve Kerr's a doctor either, but Steve Kerr has repeatedly said, if you can avoid back surgery, do it. Mm-hmm. It's one thing that, unfortunately, maybe they are being cautious, and maybe they'll be fine offensively because Michael Porter Jr. does not look like himself at all. It's terrible start after this contract extension happened. I assume they're being cautious. I assume that that's the case, because they just signed him to a deal. That's a monster deal. He didn't get $60 million. He didn't get $100 million. He got a lot more than that. So they're being super cautious with the dude that they want to be, their second or third leading scorer for a long time. And their GM has said, maybe I love my guys on my team a little too much, kind of like a fantasy GM, a fan of any team just loves their players. They signed Gordon to a monster deal. They signed Jamal Murray to a monster deal. And now Porter Jr. is the same. So they're really relying on their guys being healthy. So hopefully he gets back.
Yeah, they play tonight with no Jokic because of the suspension, no Michael Porter Jr. because of the back injury, and of course no Jamal Murray. So we'll have to do the numbers for tomorrow's show, Tass. The amount of salary, the percentage that will be sitting out tonight's game. We'll see what the Denver Nuggets can do in the game. But yeah, Lee, anything to add on MPJ there?
No, just that you just have to look at his numbers and the way that he has been moving around on the court to show that he probably has been bothered by this for most of the season. 20% from downtown, doesn't get to the free throw. He doesn't get to the free throw line all that much. But that to me suggests that there probably is something that's been bothering him. And now when I do look back at that play that we did highlight the other day and him sort of trotting back, I have a bit more sympathy for him now, because sure, he probably tweaked it. Yeah. So knowing that now that he's out, it's like, okay, maybe this has been bothering him for a while.
Okay, let's hit the beach and answer a few of your questions. Yeah, a little beach stepping here on a Wednesday. Keep sending in your cues. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com if you want to email them in, or you can tweet them in. At No Dunks Inc. That's INC. Or drop them in the YouTube comments below any of our videos. Our first one here, this is a fun one. Hello, No Dunks. The first nickname I heard for Gary Payton II was The Mitten. But recently, he said he likes Young Glove. So despite how fun it is to say Mitten, I will respect his wishes and call him Young Glove. But it got me wondering, what are nicknames someone almost had that you wished had stuck? Turnip Guy is awesome. That's from Brett in San Francisco. Thanks for the fun email there, Lee. I know we tweeted out this question too and got some great responses this morning from some of the people out there. But what do you have, Lee?
Well, I've got a couple here. The first one is a nickname that I gave to a player that even I've forgotten about, really. And that's Luka Doncic. He was the Donk. Even Maria Taylor on Game Time one night said, "Oh, the Donk is going off during the playoffs." So I thought, "Wow, it is starting to catch on."
Right.
But that was it. I think. Oh, actually, since then, I don't even really call him the Donk, so I'm not sure how it's going to stick. But I still think it could work for him. So
it's difficult because he has such a great first name.
Mm.
If his name was Paul, if his name was Paul Doncic, then okay, now you're maybe trying to do something with that second name. But Luka, it's such a great name.
Yeah. Luka Magic, Wonder Boy.
I'm not a fan of Luka Magic, I'll say.
No?
Nah, that's too lazy to me. Same reason I'm not a big fan of Jokic being called Joker. Oh my God.
Jesus, are you okay?
No, man, no, that's the problem. Literally all these people are doing is saying, oh, these sound the same, here's a nickname for you. Ridiculous. Okay. Like, yeah. Same as like naming Goran Dragic the dragon.
Yeah.
Right, just
gotta have a little bit more creativity here. That's why Big Honey should have stuck for Nikola Jokic rather than the Joker, or the Joker, yeah. If you were.
Okay. What do you have, Tass?
He's a Joker. I'm upset with Gary Payton II not wanting the mitten. It's a great nickname.
It's pretty good.
I know he doesn't like it because it's just a lesser version of a glove. I can understand why he's not smitten with the mitten, but young glove, it doesn't roll off the tongue.
No.
The mitten. The and a word is good. You know, the glove. Yeah, the mitten.
You're not going to be young forever either, GP2. I hate to break it to
him. He'll always be younger than...
He'll always be younger than that, I guess.
Young glove. I mean, it's cool. Weird. It sounds like a rapper's name. It doesn't sound like a basketball player's name.
Yeah, okay.
IMO. Anyway, we always sit around the office, where's Juancho? Juancho Hernan Gomez, where's Juancho? I love, where's Waldo this time of year? I love looking around for Juancho Hernan Gomez.
And this time of the year? Hold on. What do you mean? This time of the year you like where's Waldo or where's Juancho?
He's a Christmas. Waldo's a Christmas guy.
I never thought of Waldo as a Christmas guy. Why
red
is
and,
that?
Red and white. You're sitting around.
The hat, I guess. Doesn't he?
Santa kind of hat. You're around family around the holidays. You need things to do. Oh, let's pop open a book.
Okay.
Where's Waldo? Yeah, my Zoe likes, my daughter really likes Waldo. So I'm Juancho hasn't turned into enough of a player to have a great nickname, but I'm still looking for Juancho. Where's Juancho? Nate Robinson, his nickname was Crypto Nate. He was just like 10 years too early.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he would have been good. Lots of sponsorships, lots of cryptocurrency sponsorships would have come his way, I think. Maybe he's boxing, I don't know. And Josh Harrelson, his nickname Jorts. Yeah. I think he could have connected with Lee a little bit. You know, I guess Lee, you don't wear jean shorts though, do you?
Not really, no. No,
just shorts. John Cena.
Yeah. I think jean shorts are back. You tell me, Trey. I'm okay with them. I think if you have a little full, little cuff on the bottom, you can rock them. But if you're a standard John Cena guy, nah. Like, if you don't have a cuff, not cool.
Yeah, John Cena shorts, I don't want to see him at all. But, you know, you can pull off a nice jean short. How do y'all feel about Andrew Wiggins being Maple Jordan? Take that one back?
I've always hated that one.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm being completely honest, this guy doesn't even feel Canadian to me. He doesn't want to play for the Canadian national team. It's like, he's sort of dead to me in that sense, being a Canadian.
All right, then we'll go to his second nickname on Basketball Reference, Junior Jordan.
Oof.
Going hard on the Jordans.
Any Jordan has never worked out all that well for anyone, really. Shout out to Harold Miner. I think, and I saw somebody say this in the stream team, and I saw someone respond to the tweet we threw out, and I think it is a good one. At TribeYT, I saw on Twitter say, Durantula was always the perfect nickname for a player that never truly caught on in my eyes. With KD's spidery frame and Stone Cold Killer game, a spider-based nickname made sense and it sounded cool. Slim Reaper was another KD one that was great. And then Tribe wrote, I think he rejected both though. And I think that is true. At least I remember Slim Reaper him not wanting any part of. I think the same was true with Durantula, because I remember blogging about Durantula back for Ball Don't Lie way back when. I thought it was fantastic. I still think it's a great nickname for him, especially suits sort of his body size and how long and wiry he is. But yeah, he didn't want anything to do with it. And then I remember, Trey, maybe you can back me up on this.
I will.
Didn't somebody sue, like somebody was threatening to sue Durant for Durantula because he was like an 80s guitar player that said he had it. Remember this?
Yeah, I do think there are some stories deep in the BDL archive about that one. But yeah, I don't know. Kevin Durant didn't like Slim Reaper because it had death connotations, right? Yeah. Durantula, perhaps he's scared of spiders.
Yeah,
I don't know. He didn't want a spooky nickname. So we just call him KD.
Yeah, we really do.
Kraft Dinner.
Even Easy Money Sniper, I guess, is sort of his, social media handles, but we don't really call him that. He is just KD. But Durantula, Lee, were you a fan of that?
Yes, I mean,
it's
was.
It's good.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's way better than just KD, because that's like when everyone was just like their first initial and their first four letters of their surname, you know, C Webb and J Kidd. Well, that's his whole. Yeah, all that. Yeah.
Yours would be LL.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. LL, yeah.
You love that.
Cool with a cool J, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like them, actually. That's great, yeah.
Do you believe your nickname has stuck around, Lee? It was E-Dog, right? Is that what you were going with for a while? You put that on back of jerseys.
That was my all-star nickname, yeah. It sort of is stuck.
That's it. The other ones I saw that I liked just quickly, I don't know if you guys have any other more, but I loved Frankie Smokes for Frank Ntilikina. Yeah. And I mean, it's on his Basketball Reference page, but no one really calls him that, but it's great. And a classic, if you've been a longtime fan of the show, the Basketball Jones, way back in the day, Manu Ginobili as the Pooh God is just really, really fun. The Pooh God. So, yeah, those are the only
one that,
two
one that I didn't know until I saw the response this morning that I loved was Bobby Yesura. Any chance to get a Bobby Sura line in a show is
what
worth
was
it,
the nick? So. Yesura?
Yes, Bobby Yes Sura.
Yes.
I'm sure a lot of people, a lot of Bobby Sura haters would have called him Bobby Basura.
It's true. Anything else, guys? I know we could probably do like a whole hour on this, but any other nicknames you want?
Sure. I actually, this one always makes me laugh from Yusuf, Fast Peepee for Peyton Pritchard.
I hated that one.
Just a quick fast peepee here.
I'm not going to say it, but did anyone see the nickname for Jonathan Kuminga going around and stuff?
I did it. And you can't say it?
I don't want to say it. But,
okay. That's our man. That was our man, Kenny Beecham. That's him. Kenny Beecham came up with that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, there's a video of him for sure.
Oh, wow. All right. I'll look it up.
It does suck for KD. I think for KD, if the nicknames came up now when he's mellowed out a little bit, he would have been cool with it. I think he was just mad at the world back then. Like he just was mad at everybody. He had the burners. He's going at people in the interview that he had with Charles Barkley on TNT. Kind of said, you know, Charles, why don't you have social media? Charles like, I hate it. And KD's like, I like it. You know, he used to hate it. And if it came around now, he would have picked something else other than KD. And Dave Letterman wouldn't be asking him, hey, why is your nickname KD? Which was great.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot that happened. That was weird. Okay, let's...
Hold on. Remember when Big Baby Davis tried to change his nickname? He tried to be, like, 1-1 for a little bit because he was wearing 11 and he didn't like being known as a big baby anymore. Baby. But I think he is Big Baby Davis on Twitter now, isn't he?
He used to be, yeah.
Yeah, at a certain point, you just have to...
Yeah.
You just have to embrace the nickname even if you don't like it. I mean, it's good for your branding, especially after you're done playing.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember that, though. I'll be honest. I don't remember him trying to push the 1-1.
He was the ticket stub, I remember... Boston.
Because Kevin Garnett was the ticket.
Big ticket, yeah.
A ticket stub.
Yeah.
All right, we got one more cue here, Tess.
Hey, No Crunks. I saw a video where the Thunder roster was gifted their new City Edition uniforms. It's no surprise that the players all seem to like and even loves, a sponsor, the new jersey. But SGA said something that literally made my mouth drop. He said, this might be my favorite Thunder jersey, for sure. Bullshit. There's no way Trey's undershirt is his favorite Thunder jersey. Yes, it does resemble an undershirt. It's all white. I refuse to believe it. I think he went above and beyond with his praise to preserve the feelings of the Thunder higher-ups. He's a nice guy like that. When have you received a gift you really didn't like all that much, but lied about it to preserve the gift giver's feelings? Turn up, love you guys. Awesome. Keep up the awesome work. Best podcast in the game. Thank you, Alex Horton. Skeets, you got an answer for this one? You lied about how much you loved a gift?
Yeah, a little bit of a story time here. Nora threw me a 40th birthday party at our old house, the ugly house on Kenmore by the KFC. And I started opening some gifts. I got salt and pepper shaker set and a firefighter pug calendar. And then I opened my gift from my friend Lev, who was over. Small wreath. That's all it was. Tiny little wreath. I like sort of played it off like, okay, thanks, Lev. He could see that I was skeptical a little bit, though I told him I liked it. I tried to make that very clear. I was lying. That wasn't enough for Lev, though, and he wanted the gift receipt back. And I tried to play it off, and the party kept going, trying to open more gifts. He wouldn't let it go. If you love it as much as you say you do, and as much as you have been saying, then it shouldn't be a problem if I take the receipt back. So I eventually just gave up. I gave the receipt back to Lev. And then Lee, he ate it.
Oh.
He straight up ate it. Very weird, right?
Oh.
But, oh, it gets crazier. He then started to say he was feeling sick, like he was going to puke like Anthony Davis. And he said, Lee, not because he ate a gift receipt, he said it was because I had mud pie on my hands, that I had shit on my hands. Yeah. Wow. Which was true. I used too small a slice, okay? In the shitter. So things got so intensely, I suddenly had our other friend, Melissa. She was eating another gift receipt to see if the paper was making Lev sick or my shitty hands. She was fine in the end.
What is going on with this story?
Everybody freaked out. Rick was screaming something about my house being covered head to toe and shit. A cake got flipped over. The entire party left. And then, to top it off, my friend Lev died. So I guess the moral of the story is, Lee, the next time you receive a gift you don't like all that much, don't lie. Could kill your friend. And also use more paper towel when you're wiping your ass.
I don't know if this is true or not. I can't.
Skeets, does your friend Lev, does he eat paper a lot? Or is it like, this was not a one-time thing? He's eating paper all the time, and
he says he ate it all the time. Yeah. Rest in peace, but yeah, weird, eh? Lily, it's crazy. So that's the one time, and it was a wreath. I didn't like the wreath, and I shouldn't have lied. That's the moral of the story.
Don't eat paper, I think, is the moral of the story. Really,
also good.
How did the party go after after the receipt fracas? Did everybody stick around?
No. I said everybody left. Right. They were gonna go to Lev's house, but he died on the way. So.
Tough one.
Anyone else have an answer?
That was great.
Look how confused Lee is. Okay, let's just take a final break.
Yeah. And Skeets doesn't touch it.
We'll take our final break, and when we come back, we got Tweet of the Night and pickup results. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Whoa! Mac is back! You ever wish you could have it both ways? I do. Like a zero-calorie cheeseburger or staying up late but not feeling exhausted in the morning. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort. But you can have it both ways with Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I've got some polos, some tees, some undies, and I love them. Simple, soft, stylish. In fact, I'm wearing Mack Weldon right now. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. If you told me my silver PK polo was made from 100% cotton, I would 100% believe you. But those antimicrobial silver threads keep me feeling fresher longer. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code NODUNKS.
That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code No Dunks.
All right, back with No Dunks here. Just to circle back to that story, Lee, the worst part, if I'm being honest, was right before Lev left and then unfortunately died later that night, is he said nobody liked my house anyway. And that really, really that stuck with me for a long time. Yeah. And that's why we moved. Mm. Yeah. I miss that old house on Kenmore, the KFC sign that you could see through the front window. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
JD, Tweet of the Night. What do you got?
Yeah, so tonight's tweet, or last night's Tweet of the Night, actually comes from a fan of the show, Jacob Ruggiero. And Jacob had a little bit of criticism for us. He says, I was pretty disappointed with No Dunks today. They didn't even reference the news that Vin Diesel made a public plea for Dwayne Johnson to return to the franchise. I thought this was a Fast and Furious podcast with some basketball on the side. Well, Jacob, you are absolutely right. We totally whiffed it on that one. We did 10 episodes, 10 over 2 hour episodes of every Fast and Furious movie, including Hobbs and Shaw. And it's actually shocking that this hasn't come up before now. And Jacob, of course, is referring to the olive branch that Vin Diesel extended to his quote unquote little brother Dwayne. And here's what he says. I'll read a little bit of it.
What a fucking weirdo.
It's very strange. So this is how it ends, basically. Legacy awaits. I told you years ago I was going to fulfill my promise to Pablo. Pablo is Paul Walker for the uninitiated. I swore we would reach and manifest the best Fast in the finale that is 10. What a weird sentence. I say this out of love. But you must show up. Do not leave the franchise idle. Nice pun. You have a very important role to play. Hobbs can't be played by no other. I hope you rise to the occasion and fulfill your destiny. Wow. Now, listen, Fast 9 was with the final one we did. I mean, I was very much in the camp that The Rock is not coming back. He said over the summer, I'm not coming back. So this is like, I don't know if this is just a delayed response to that comment. Like, it's weird timing. But I will say they're starting to shoot Fast 10. It's actually two movies back to back. They're starting to shoot in January. So we're talking 2 months. Like, are you telling me that Hobbs is in the script and The Rock has said that he's not coming back? I mean, what is going on here? I mean, like, this, I mean, it's supposed, the movie is supposed to come out April 7th, 2023. I mean, I don't see how this is going to happen. But
okay, JD, I have a question. What would be funnier to you for these, you know, if it's a two-part movie? So Hobbs written into the script, mm-hmm. but somebody else playing him entirely. Okay. Could be funny.
Yeah.
or would you prefer if The Rock is like absolutely not doing it, and why would you want to work with this weirdo anymore? I don't know. But if he did it, would you rather just like they write him out of the script and like,
oh,
Hobbs is not in it?
I mean, I think that has to be the latter. Like, you have to write him out. Like, you have to kill Hobbs somehow. But nobody ever dies in this franchise. So, I mean, who knows? But
okay. Can you show the photo again, too? He photoshopped this, did he not?
There's something. His head is extended back like an alien, like Alien from Aliens, right? Like,
he's made himself bigger. Yeah.
Yeah.
To go eye to eye.
It's
with
a Photoshop.
The Rock.
Yeah. He needs Canva for sure. Fix this up. Not looking. Are you telling me there's a script for these movies? Well, I think he may just be able to show up on set, wing it, figure it out.
Mm-hmm. I like this idea from Jules, who said they just introduced a new character named Bobs, played by Steve Austin.
That's actually
no surprise.
Yeah.
No surprise to see Vin come crawling back. He knows. He knows he needs Dwayne around, his little brother Dwayne. He must love being the older one between those two, because obviously The Rock is bigger than Vin Diesel is, but he's like, sorry, you're 5 years younger, still my little brother, and you send me Christmas presents.
Yeah.
It's and like, I'm not spoiling anything. I know some of you maybe listened or watched all of our Fast Friends podcast through the summer where we did every movie, but F9 was by far the worst.
Oh, yeah. By miles.
I mean, it was bad. Very, very bad. Which is saying something, because these are not, you know, Oscar-worthy movies here. But they look a lot better compared to F9. So,
oh, totally.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, betting man, Trey, is The Rock going to be in?
100% he's going to be in. I said it in our last podcast.
I think you're right.
He's going to be back. There's no doubt. He has to come back. Everybody comes back. And I got to say, I also said in that podcast, Vin Diesel, Dominic Toretto needs to die in Fast 10. That's the only way it makes sense as an ending. So 100%. I would lock both of them in, because if you talk about it on the internet, it happens in a Fast and Furious movie. You don't need a script. Who cares?
Right.
Two months? That's 2 months to actually figure out what they're doing before they start filming.
Yeah, I fell down a total rabbit hole here, and I got into the Giselle. Is Giselle coming back? Who, of course, is Gal Gadot's character. And I was just like, what if she comes back like Idris Elba's character, like super bionic? Like, I mean, she's got to, right? That has to happen too. Like, there's these theories that Mr. Nobody faked her death somehow. I'd like to see that retcon. That is something that I would like to see explained, how she fell off a car that was riding on a plane. I mean,
he just caught her, scooped her up.
I said it at the time on that podcast. Like, why are we to believe that she's dead?
Oh.
Nobody dies.
Right. We haven't even seen her body. We saw actually blow up, but Giselle just faded off into the darkness, man.
Yeah, no, she's coming back. They're all coming back.
I can't stop looking at Vin Diesel's head now in this Photoshop. Yeah. It does look like Alien. It's so long.
That's weird.
It's so long.
Why didn't somebody do that for? Why didn't somebody Photoshop it for?
No doubt. There's got to be a better Photoshop out there.
Yeah. I agree that he is coming back, because I don't think this would actually be a public plea where you would call someone your little brother and expect him to accept. You know, this is just publicity. Hey, little bro, come back. Why would The Rock want to be called little bro to Vin? Doesn't jive.
Another reason he's coming back, I mean, The Rock, obviously a world-famous wrestler. Everybody comes back in wrestling. Always. You always come back. You're never retired. You're never done, even though you said you are. Nope. You'll be back hosting a WrestleMania or starring in the card at WrestleMania. So, like, yeah, he'll be there.
I love this comment from Alex G. Sure. In his contract, he has to have a longer head than The Rock.
I mean, you joke, Alex, but that might be in there.
My short-headed brother, Dwayne.
Okay, I'm glad we got it in. Way to go, JD.
Little brother.
We were a little slow to it, but we got it in. Okay, let's get to Pick'em results brought to you by BetMGM from last night. It was that Bucks-Sixers game. Line was Milwaukee favored by 6.5, so they had to win by 7 or more. I don't know about you guys. I did watch this whole thing. It was fun having a little juice on the game with our line here. And I'm like, oh, I think the Sixers might cover. Looked like the Sixers might win the game at one point.
Yeah.
Thought they might cover, but they didn't in the end. So the one time we all took Milwaukee, we all got it right. So congrats to everybody here. Lee goes to 6-1. Task 5-2. I'm finally above 500 at 4-3. And Trey is 3-4. Tonight's game, Tass, I haven't even looked at the schedule, but I'm assuming there's a ton on. Where are we going?
There is. I decided to go with the big line, and I was worried that all four of us were going to take the same team again. Pre-show, it felt like everyone was taking the Brooklyn Nets as they visit the Orlando Magic, even though they're 9.5-point favorites. The three of us chimed in on Slack. Skeets, myself, and Lee, who threw in a wand because we're taking the Magic because we don't think the Brooklyn Nets can win by 10 points. That's fair. The Nets, wishy-washy. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Betray, the fourth one, swerved. Why do you think the Nets will win by double digits in Orlando tonight, Trey?
Yeah, that's a big chunk of cheese right there, so I'm leaning into the bean because I don't feel like Orlando is going to be able to punish Brooklyn where they are weakest, which would be inside. I know they play a lot of tall guys, the Magic do, but Cole Anthony is really what drives them, and I would just, feels like the Nets are going to want a little bit of a bounce back after the loss against the Bulls.
I thought it was strictly because you wanted to prove that the Bulls are back. So if the Bulls beat Brooklyn, I mean, they're just by far and away the best team in the league. So Brooklyn's going to smash the Magic by 20. But I think it'll be fun for, you know, some... It's a league pass game, I assume. But people got to watch the Magic a little bit. They're fun. They're fun. Cole and Franz and Mo. They got some players.
Cole and Franz and Mo.
Hopefully you're watching Nets Magic. Brooklyn's got to win by 10 or more for Trey to get that W. Otherwise, everybody else will get the victory. So good luck, good luck, good luck to you. Okay, we'll call it there. Fun show. A little I think you should leave, and then a little Fast and Furious talk. Email us, nodunks@theathletic.com. Keep your questions coming. You never know when we're going to step on the beach. Hit us up on Twitter, @NoDunksInc, or drop a comment below this vid. Grab yourself an Athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. I will say, for you Survivor heads out there, you know, there's a lot of games on tonight. Also, a new episode of Survivor. And we obviously have the No Buffs Survivor podcast that we do, Trey, JD, Jason, Concepcion, and myself. We're going to be going live tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern on the No Buffs YouTube channel. So a little bit earlier than normal. We're usually 5:30. We're going at 4 p.m. Eastern if you want to join us live, and then we'll flip that around into a podcast that will be available on that separate feed as well. Very excited for tonight's episode and all the NBA action, which we'll be back tomorrow to talk about in detail. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. It's 11:37 Eastern. My wife just texted me because we have a 12 o'clock appointment, and she said, I think you should leave right now. So gotta go.
Embrace the day, people.
You could stay.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.